get in the streets. If you're already in the streets, stay in the streets. If you ain't there yet, get out there and join us in the streets, because that's what it's going to take to drive this regime out.
Welcome to episode 5 of Inside Without Now, a podcast hosted by volunteers with RefuseFascism.org. I'm Sam, one of those volunteers. Today we're sharing a discussion I had with Coco Das, one of the editors of RefuseFascism.org, and Carl Dix, founding member of the Revolutionary Communist Party and co-initiator of Refuse Fascism. This interview was recorded on June 17th. The topic of our conversation is the crossroads we face and why people need to be in the streets Juneteenth weekend, how and why the people must act urgently when Trump holds his fascist rally in Tulsa. The rally is a massive insult to Black people and an ominous threat to us all. You'll definitely want to follow on Twitter Coco Das at Coco underscore Das and Carl Dix at Carl underscore Dix. After you listen to this discussion, please find out how you can get involved at refusefascism.org. Including where you can join a protest this weekend. What is the crossroads that we face and why we must be in the streets Juneteenth? Why the people must act urgently when Trump holds his fascist rally in Tulsa, a massive insult to Black people and an ominous threat to all? We are on a mission to bring people into the streets in massive numbers, raising this demand. No fascist USA, Trump Pence out now. As he's doing his fascist rally. White supremacy is at the core of the Trump-Pence regime's whole fascist program. There are many people that contacted me following yesterday's speech that was supposedly, ostensibly, about police reform or about addressing systemic racism. People were rightly outraged and wondering, what are we going to do? For those of you who haven't listened to what he said, I encourage you to listen to these two points. One, in a speech after his regime threatened the military on the people, he sent the National Guard to, quote, in his words, put down protesters. He told the nation and the world that he was willing to continue the brutality. He was willing and proud that he threatened and terrorized protesters. And he's willing to escalate these threats against anyone who dares to rise up to struggle for justice. He closed this speech. This might be disturbing, and we should really ground ourselves in how disturbing this is. This is a speech on reforming policing, supposedly. And he used that as an opportunity to defend the Confederacy. He said, we must build on our heritage, not tear it down. The heritage of the Confederacy and the Klan, lynch mobs and slave traders, going all the way back to Columbus. These words are both a slap in the face to Black people and a threat of what is to come if we do not drive out this regime. I am going to bring on Coco first, and then I'll be talking with Carl shortly. Good evening, Coco. I was hoping that you could share with people who don't know, what are we calling for this weekend? What is the announcement that Refuse Fascism put out?
This weekend, we are saying into the streets, Juneteenth weekend. On June 19th, we're calling for large Refuse Fascism contingents to take this message of Trump-Pence out now to the Defend Black Lives rallies across the country. On June 20th, we are calling protests to demand no more police murder of Black people, no fascist police state, no fascist military war on the people, Trump Pence out now. So I'm going to read this statement that's up on the homepage right now at refusefascism.org. We are at a serious crossroads. An American fascism rooted in the Confederacy and wrapped in the flag and Mike Pence's Bible taken literally has been spreading its poison of white supremacy, misogyny, xenophobia, and oppressive fundamentalist traditional values. Trump does not only speak the language of fascism, he acts on it, calling up the police, military, and his MAGA street thugs to carry out brutality and revenge. Trump has thrown down a heavy gauntlet to the people. He has invoked the Second Amendment to call out his armed vigilante militias, threatened to send the U.S. military into the streets to restore a fascist law and order and dominate the streets. And in a massive insult to Black people, Trump's announcement that he would restart his KKK-style campaign rallies on Juneteenth, the day to celebrate emancipation from slavery, in Tulsa, Oklahoma, which is the scene of one of the most horrendous mass killings of Black people in U.S. history, sends a clear message. Black people who dare to step out of their place will be met with an onslaught of MAGA white supremacists enforcing their fascist program. Should the Trump-Pence regime succeed in dropping the hammer and crushing this righteous uprising of the people, this fascist movement will come back with even more terror and brutality, aimed at destroying our ability to stand up again. We cannot allow this. Every move the regime makes to kill this uprising must be met with an even greater mass outpouring, in which the resolve of the protesters against police murder is strengthened with a growing defiant chorus resounding across the country, Trump Pence out now. What we're saying here is that this is a moment to seize. An uprising has begun. Day after day, night after night, coast to coast, the streets fill with people of all backgrounds who cannot tolerate another day of white supremacy and a culture of soul-crushing cruelty. Millions have been shaken awake. This determined struggle for justice has created a serious political crisis that the Trump-Pence regime cannot easily roll over. For the first time in over 3 years, the people have seized the initiative and refused to let go. Even with all the tear gas and rubber bullets and lethal violence, protesters have not backed down, and the whole world has seen that those in power are not all powerful. All of society is compelled to choose which side of history they want to be on, even causing wide splits among the rulers. This is how regimes around the world have been forced out of power. This is a moment to seize. The fight for justice now must include a growing network of people and organizations from many different backgrounds and political perspectives, calling for the immediate removal of the Trump-Pence regime. This cannot be put on hold until November, when talk of election cancellation or Trump's refusal to leave office is a common point of conversation. Let us not hope against facts that the 2020 election, the same election that Trump was on trial for sabotaging, is enough to resolve the crisis of an entire fascist movement determined to impose their nightmare vision of society. While the regime has been forced to make minor concessions in response to this historic upsurge, it has also made them more desperate to storm forward and lash out. We are the only force that can stop this. Millions of people staying in the streets and refusing to go home until our demand, Trump-Pence out now, is met. We have begun, but should we fail to see this through, this and every struggle for justice will be set back. But if we succeed, and we can succeed, every struggle for justice will be strengthened, and a whole fascist movement, from the streets to the halls of power, will be driven back. The whole world will take heart. Let us change the course of history, not for ourselves, but for all humanity. This is the basic statement that we're going out with. On the 19th, we're going out into this outpouring that Movement for Black Lives has called forth and other people have joined, and being defiant against this whole resurgent white supremacy on Juneteenth. And on June 20th, we are calling our own protests to raise these four demands. And the most important of those, to really begin to drive out this white supremacy that people are in the streets trying to stop, this demand, Trump-Pence out now, has to be a part of it.
I think that that was perfect, Coco, because I think people need to know what it is that we face, the crossroads we face, and why we need to be in the streets this weekend, Juneteenth weekend. I think that just stepping back and thinking about the past few weeks, which the statement addresses, there's been a tremendous amount of determination and joy being expressed by a wide variety of people on the streets right now. It's been very attractive to many people for when we say Trump-Pence out now, and when we put out what we're calling people to do, including many who may at first raise voting, and then when we challenge them on that not being the answer are very quickly to take up our materials when we point out the absurdity of relying on the elections. But with all that, there's still a craving for order, for things to go back to normal. And I was wondering if you could speak more to the crossroads we are in relation to that normalcy. What really is on the line? And connected to that, why everyone who does have this hunger for justice needs to continue to be in the streets.
Well, I think we should talk about the last 3 weeks and talk about the last 3 years. And in the last 3 weeks, what we see is that for the first time, people have gotten in the field in a sustained, determined way where they are actually creating a situation that the regime can't easily roll over. I mean, there has been opposition to this white supremacist, misogynist, xenophobic program that has come down. And I think maybe we should back up even a little bit more of what was represented by the election of this regime, this reassertion of violent white supremacy, this reassertion of traditional patriarchal values that was meant to undo the progress of the last 50 years that came out of people's struggles through the civil rights movement, through women's liberation movements. This was revenge against that. Then people went back into relying on the normal channels, thinking the courts will resolve it, the blue wave will resolve it, the Mueller report will resolve it. What we've seen in the last 3 years is that all of these have become dead ends. What was not in the picture was what we've seen in the last 3 weeks. The sustained, nonviolent, determined protest, a struggle from below that does not yield, that will not be provoked. And that has, in a very short time, changed the whole political equation so that it is issuing to this regime that is overseeing all of this. They're not the only players, obviously, because of the police murders were going on, have been going on for a long time, but they're in a situation where they really have to bring this under control. And that creates a lot of necessity for them. They cannot allow this to continue. You know, they've attempted different ways of resolving it. They violently cleared Lafayette Park. Trump has threatened to bring out the military. Trump keeps saying he is going to bring law and order back into the streets. He keeps saying that giving the Confederacy that heritage needs to be upheld. He hasn't changed, actually, his stance. He's facing some necessity, gives some concessions, but mainly he wants to resolve this, and the regime wants to resolve this through more brutality. And I believe he said that law enforcement needs to dominate the streets, and if states need help from the federal government to do that, he'll provide the help. And then when you take on top of that what he's doing with the Tulsa rally, getting his base whipped up. This is a white supremacist rallies. And we can already see that those forces are going out into the streets and they are playing their role in enforcing this fascist program in trying to suppress this righteous uprising through sheer violence. It's a very dangerous situation because if they do succeed in bringing the hammer down in the way that they want to, it really is true what it says in that statement. They will go out all out for revenge and they will make it so that the people cannot stand up again, not without even more tremendous sacrifice. We have these 3 weeks of really heroic struggle confronting more than 3 years of a fascist regime that represents this. Pillars of it is this white supremacy. Really trying for generations to come to dominate over black and brown people, bring this nightmare for humanity into being. And these two forces now are contending, and we have to be very clear-eyed on what we're facing and be determined not to back down and to take the struggle to the next level where this regime has to be driven out. Their fingers on the mechanisms of power and violence have to be taken away. And then we can actually really start to figure out how to stop this and how to actually bring a better future for humanity into being.
Thanks for that, Coco. I'm going to bring Carl into the conversation. Would you, in broad strokes, tell people what is Refuse Fascism calling for this weekend?
Yeah, what Refuse Fascism is calling for this weekend is that on Friday, June 19th, Juneteenth, that people go into the protest call for the Movement for Black Lives all across the country. If there's no protest called by the Movement for Black Lives in your area, initiate one yourself and take the Refuse Fascism demands. No more police murder of black people, no fascist police state clampdown, and very importantly, Trump Pence out now into this righteous stand in defense of the lives of black people. So that's what should happen on Friday, June 19th. And then on Saturday, June 20th, Refuse Fascism is calling its own protest to take those demands, and especially the demand Trump Pence out now, out into the street, out into society very broadly. And everybody should act both on Friday, joining the Movement for Black Lives events with these demands, and then on Saturday, out taking the demand straight up into society. So that's what Refuse Fascism's calling for.
Thanks for that, Carl. Even when Trump was met with outrage for calling his fascist rally in Tulsa the site of one of the worst racist massacres of black people in US history, he's still going ahead with it the next day. Can you help us deepen understanding on why what Trump's doing is such not only a massive insult, but a clear and dangerous message, and why him and his whole regime are delivering this?
Okay, look, Juneteenth, June 19th is the day that enslaved people in Texas in 1865 found out that slavery had been ended, because it took that long for a Union army to get into that part of the country to let people know slavery is over. So that is a national holiday connected to the end of slavery officially in this country. Combining that with Tulsa, which is the site of one of the most horrific white supremacist riots in this country's history, where mobs of white people marauded into the black community, destroyed a whole prosperous neighborhood in the Greenwood section of Tulsa, which was referred to as Black Wall Street because of the successful businesses that were centered there, murdered hundreds and hundreds of black people, drove thousands of black people out of their homes. These white mobs were assisted by local law enforcement, joined by the National Guard that was mobilized, and then aided by the military, because Tulsa was the first site of the US military dropping bombs on people who were supposedly US citizens, because the black people in this neighborhood in Tulsa were bombed by military planes in the midst of this white supremacist violence. Okay, so now for Trump to say, I'm gonna have my first MAGA rally since the coronavirus had caused the cancellation of all this on Juneteenth in Tulsa, was a double slap in the face. Here you have this man who has not found a Confederate monument, which are monuments to slavery. That's the only thing you could say they are. They are monuments to heritage of this country, because this country's heritage was founded in slavery. So this guy who hugs up to slavery and wants to keep that heritage and bring that forward as part of what America is all about, wants to keep the monuments, wants to keep having US military installations named after generals who left the US military in order to fight against the US military for the cause of slavery, who, when he saw Klansmen and Nazis marching in Charlottesville, Virginia, a couple of years ago, saw very fine people among them, a man who to this day has not backed off of saying, he put out ads saying the Central Park Five, five black and Latino youth who were falsely accused of having raped a white woman in Central Park, framed up by police who knew the evidence did not, you know, point to any of these youth, and a district attorney who knew the same thing. He put out ads saying these people should have been executed. When they were exonerated later, he has said they should still be in jail. This is a man who oozes white supremacy. It just comes out of the pores of his skin. He's probably the most open and naked white supremacist who's been in the White House in maybe the last century. This is who we're talking about, is going to go to the site of the destruction of a whole black neighborhood by a white racist mobs and the US military on the day that's connected with a celebration of the end of slavery, to hold a Ku Klux Klan type rally, which is what his MAGA rallies are. Look, if you ain't somebody who embraces the enslavement of black people on which this country is founded, let's actually tell the truth. That's where its wealth and power came from, along with the theft of land from the native inhabitants and the genocide that was carried out against them. If you ain't somebody who embraces that, then you need to be outraged that this bloated bag of fascist feces had the nerve to talk about doing a MAGA rally on Juneteenth in Tulsa, and that your outrage should not be lessened by the fact that he moved it one day past Juneteenth, because it is still going to be a fascist, racist, white supremacist rally, because that is what he and his regime represent, what they're bringing forward. And that's what his campaign is going to be on. And it's part of asserting and consolidating the hold on power that these fascists have in this country, this fascist regime has in this country, and something that a hold that has to be broken, as Coco was saying, through massive, nonviolent political resistance, people going into the streets, and they're already in the streets and staying in the streets and adding to their demands of no more white supremacy, no more police murder of black people, a recognition that this regime represents something that's no good for black people, but also no good for humanity. One thing that struck me is that the people in the streets, they were calling for justice for George Floyd, but for them that was connected with no more George Floyds, an end of murder by police of black people and brown people, an end to white supremacy. And many, many of them also wanted to end the woman-hating activity of this regime, its attacks on LGBTQ people, the way in which it's demonized and criminalized immigrants and thrown many of them in detention camps on the border, its attacks on the environment, its wars for empire. People want to see that stopped. If you want to see that stopped, you got to see that you got to get this regime out of power, and that that is something that we have to take into our own hands. You can't leave it to the elections, especially when you got a guy who has been openly trying to rig the elections, asking the Ukraine to help, asking China to help him. The Republican Party has been trying to suppress the votes of black people, of Latinos, and even of young people and young white people, because those are sections of society who don't vote for him overwhelmingly. So they're trying to rig the election. They've even floated the idea of not having the election. And then what happens? The election happens and he loses and refuses to leave office.
Thank you for that, Carl. That was extremely helpful. And I think it's really important and horrible. What a smack in the face this Trump rally is on Juneteenth weekend, how it is an immediate expression of a large problem that, as Coco was talking about, has been taking hold and strengthening its grip for the past almost 4 years. And that's that we have fascists in the White House, that we're being ruled by a fascist regime. We're talking about a qualitative change in how society is run. We're talking about the triad of fascism, of overt white supremacy, misogyny, and xenophobia that it foments and relies upon. And we're talking about, you know, that it being ruled by the state and the oppressive forces coming from, you know, the military and whatnot, but also these street thugs that have been carrying out racist violence in unprecedented ways in these past few weeks, shooting protesters and having lynch mobs in Ohio and all of this, that these are connected. But it's part of shredding the rule of law and changing the norms, and ultimately is part of squashing any dissent and making it so that they can consolidate their power. So I think that this is a really important conversation to be having, and I appreciate your remarks on the crossroads that we face. So one question that I thought was worth speaking to was, how do you get white people to come into the streets to take up this demand?
First off, we've got to recognize that part of the power of this upsurge is that large numbers, especially of young white people, have taken to the streets, and they were driven to the streets because it's no longer a question of whether police are brutalizing and murdering people. It's a documented reality. We don't have enough people who are acting around this, including not enough white people, but we have to keep taking this reality to people and challenging them. Do they wanna live in a world where this continually happens to people because of the color of their skin? And do they wanna be the kind of people who walk past it while it comes down, or take it up? And then take to them also that this is connected. It didn't start with the Trump-Pence regime. This is something that has been going on for decades, and I've been fighting it for decades, frankly. I formed the October 22nd Coalition to Stop Police Brutality, Repression, and the Criminalization of a Generation back in 1996. But it is being made much, much worse by the Trump-Pence regime and the way in which it celebrates brutal murdering police, the way in which Trump goes to police functions and tells them they shouldn't be so nice to the people that they arrest, when we're seeing video after video of police brutalizing and murdering people. And he's still going around, including at his police reform press conference at the White House, talking about how the overwhelming majority of police are very fine and they're protecting and serving people, which is just straight BS. You know, you can look at that video from Buffalo and say, well, it was only one or two cops that pushed the guy down. But the thing was, every other cop in that unit walked over the guy as he lay there bleeding on the street. And this is the way the police departments around the country function. Police who brutalize and murder aren't the majority of the police force. What the majority of the police force does is it stands by and watches this brutality, watches this murder go down, maintains a blue wall of silence so that the perpetrators of it can't be brought to account for it, and frankly, often cheers when these perpetrators get off. See, so when Trump is saying, I'm doing police reform, he's actually working on another problem, not the problem of police brutalizing and murdering black people, because in his reality, that seldom happens. People who get brutalized and murdered by the police deserved it. And anybody who doesn't say that is lying, even when there's a video that shows the reality is what they say. So getting people, anybody to take this up, comes down to bringing that reality to them and challenging them to find their humanity in relation to it. And that goes through the demands, because it's both the police murder of black people and ending that, ending white supremacy, but it is also taking the reality to them that this regime represents an intensification of that brutality, an unleashing of that white supremacy, and the unleashing of many other horrors on people around the world and in this country, and challenging them to take their responsibility in acting to stop it.
One question that I thought is worth thinking about: with all the threats Trump is making against Black Lives Matter protests, the disproportionate death of Black people coming from COVID-19 that Trump bears responsibility for. And now his KKK rally on Juneteenth weekend. I'm surprised that the demands that Trump has to go now is not more a part of the ongoing protests. A lot of people see all this and more, and are still tolerating open white supremacy from the highest office. Why do you think this is?
I think that we've seen in these protests, there is a deep hatred of this regime, and it means especially Trump. Slogans like F Trump have really spread throughout these rallies, especially of young people. But I think that there's a tremendous, still one denial of what this actually represents. People have not fully confronted what kind of program this regime is really determined to hammer into place. We have things on our website about fascism denial, and it has been a struggle to get people to see the whole picture of what is represented. We've got the war on immigrants. I mean, how many headlines have we seen of Trump, this regime, or Trump administration's war on immigrants, war on science, war on climate, but they're not necessarily putting those dots together. And those are all related as part of this fascist program. Trump and Pence see this as their last chance. So there's tremendous passion and determination on their part. And that's something that you see in these MAGA rallies, the worst acting with passionate intensity. Another reason is that people do actually hate this, but they still believe that the normal channels will take care of it. Right now, we're a few months away from the election. How many times have you seen somebody say, you know, Trump is a threat to democracy, we're going to vote him out in November. November's coming, just wait. I mean, they're not necessarily seeing how those two things are contradictory. Hitler rose to power through the elections or through the normal channels in Germany. So it's not an exaggeration to say the future of humanity and the planet is on the line. The elections alone will not be a resolution to this whole, not only this regime, but to this whole fascist movement that has been strengthened through having fascists in the White House.
Thank you, Coco. All right, Carl. This is something that you've spoken to before in different ways, but I was looking at the comments. I think we could use another round on this. Why is it that the struggle to end white supremacy needs to include driving out the fascist Trump-Pence regime? I was thinking about how you said that this didn't begin with Trump. If you could speak to both those that understand that and those who focus just on Black Lives Matter and not bring Trump into this.
Okay, no, that's a good question. And look, white supremacy is like the mother's milk of America. The wealth and power of this country is based upon enslaving African people and the theft of land and the genocide against the native inhabitants. That's where the wealth and power of this country came from. And along with that, there was the dehumanization of Black people, of Native people, and others. That has gone through America from the very beginning, all the way up to today. And I'll just tell you, that needs to be ended, and it can be ended, but it will take an actual revolution, one that overthrows this system, dismantles its institutions of violent suppression, and brings a totally different and far better system into being to get rid of that. Because the continuation of that white supremacy and savage oppression of Black people in particular is based upon and run through the fact that this system works on the basis of profit for a few. And the white supremacy has been a part of developing a social base for this system among people who are themselves exploited by this system. So you got to get rid of that through a revolution to get rid of the white supremacy. And we can make this revolution. You know, I've been working at this for about 50 years now. I was out there in the 60s when we thought we were going to make revolution. We didn't succeed. But we've got some things today that we didn't have back then. We've got leadership in the form of Bob Avakian, the architect of the new communism and who has forged a a new pathway for human emancipation, a leader who I follow, and I encourage others to check out if they're serious about ending white supremacy and these other horrors. Check out the Constitution that Avakian authored, which is a blueprint for a vision of a new society. Check out his speech, Why We Need an Actual Revolution and How We Can Really Make Revolution. So that's what it's going to take to end white supremacy. But if you're serious about doing that, you have to look at the whole picture. And a significant part of that picture right now is that there is a fascist regime holding power, wielding power in this society. It is unleashing and bringing forth virulent white supremacy, rallying it and unleashing it as part of its social base. You know, in some, especially smaller cities, they have called out militias, other white supremacist forces who have attacked and beaten people who are protesting. This is a part of the apparatus that they're using to try to cement fascist rule. And if they succeed in doing that, our chances of doing, of not only making revolution, but doing anything progressive, anything to change things for the better for humanity, go way down, because that is not in the fascist agenda, improving the lot of humanity. So if you're really concerned about what this system does to Black people, then you have to, one, get serious on the source of that problem and the solution. And if you really seriously do that, I think it takes you to the need for revolution. And then you got to check out the leadership of Bob Avakian and the work that he does. But you also have to see that this white supremacist regime is moving to consolidate full-on fascist rule. And full-on fascist rule will mean that the people that it has demonized, the people that it, this system has criminalized, will be even further demonized and criminalized. And the forces, both official, I mean the police, National Guard, and military, and unofficial in some of these white supremacist forces that are being unleashed, will be cut loose to even more come down on those sections of people. And that really does include Black people, as well as other oppressed people. But it's not just people of color, because LGBTQ people, whatever the Supreme Court said earlier this week, will also be in the crosshairs of that. So people who really don't want to see these horrors continued and intensified need to recognize that this isn't something you can work on the local level about, or you can reimagine the police and abolish police departments and abolish prisons, because this capitalist imperialist society requires brutal frontline enforcers to enforce the social relations, you know, of inequality, of poverty, and of misery. And they require prisons to warehouse those sections of society that they have no future for. And that's, those sections are disproportionately Black or brown. So you have to see that this is a systemic problem, and one that we have to get serious and real about how we're going to deal with. And if you do that, you'll see that the immediate step that's out there in front of us is driving this regime from power. And the potential to do it is being pointed to in these upsurges. So we have to actually bring into these upsurges an understanding that this regime stands in the way of what so many people want to see happen. And that is an end to white supremacy and the suppression that comes down on Black people. They are not the initiators of that problem, and getting rid of them won't solve that problem once and for all, but it's a necessary step to take if you are serious about trying to solve that problem.
That's really helpful, Carl. I think that one thing that I just wanted to add that somebody brought up the other day that I thought was not clarifying, but gave me a deeper sense of there's a lot of people in chapters and what have you that have been bringing up worries about bringing forward Trump Pence out now, taking away from people's demands around, you know, stopping police terror. And, you know, someone raised that driving this regime from power in the name of humanity, we refuse to accept a fascist America, Trump Pence must go now and staying until that demand is met, would do more to set back police terror than all this reimagining you have going on, this diverting some police funds to social services. Those are measures that would be bogged down in legislative BS and swept away with the snap of your finger if, and really when, this regime and its fascist base clamp down if we fail to drive him from power. I wanted to ask Coco, what is refused fascism bringing into the streets on Friday and on Saturday? Is there anything different that we're for organizers to know about in terms of the difference between Friday and Saturday? And why is it so important that on Saturday in particular, people are in the streets demanding Trump Pence out now?
To go into these really righteous protests that should, I hope, will be massive. I mean, millions of people really should be in the streets to say Black Lives Matter and there no more police murder of Black people. This has to stop. And millions of people, you know, who, you know, we've made a leap to, I think, you know, probably over 100,000, hundreds of thousands of people, but there are millions of people in this country who do not want to tolerate what is happening to Black people in this country. So, you know, I think on Friday, we are joining with that spirit in solidarity with the people who initiated and called these marches to say, this is, you know, this is everyone demanding that Black people need to be treated as full human beings and Black Lives Matter and no more of this white supremacy and the boot of these white supremacists on Black lives. But going into that as an organized force, organized contingents with the banners that say, you know, in the name of humanity, we refuse to accept a fascist America, Trump Pence out now, whatever it says, but linking this up, these demands are not exclusive of each other. If you want to stop the white supremacist terror over Black people, that has to include driving out the white supremacists from the White House. Saturday, so that's on Friday, going in with in organized contingents and getting into conversations with people, passing out this statement, and really getting them, you know, getting them to engage on, you know, what does this bring to this whole, you know, this whole different terrain that we're on in the last 3 weeks. And then on Saturday, we are inviting everybody who does not want to live in a society that is ruled by white supremacist mob terror. It's ruled by just the every facet of society, this white supremacy being strengthened in every facet of white supremacy, and, you know, also all the other facets of the fascist regime. For everybody who can't stand that, who want to see an end to all this, that do not want to live in this nightmare, wants this nightmare to end, come and join us at the rallies that we're calling, the marches that we're calling. And there should be millions of people into the streets for that to say Trump Pence out now. And I do think it's actually worth, we keep saying, you know, regimes, tyrannical regimes have been driven, or regimes all around the world have been driven out through this process. And I think it's worth just laying that out a little bit more, where you have a situation where the people keep coming back, they keep coming back. So you have massive numbers, you have momentum. If you watch this movie, the documentary, The Square, you'll see it in Egypt, in Tahrir Square, people just kept coming back day after day after day. But a central part of that was the demand that the regime has to go. And when you have the numbers, you have the momentum, and you have demand, a single unifying demand, you know, joined with all these other things that people want, you can have a situation where in 18 days, Mubarak, who had been in power for 30 years, was driven out of power. In Puerto Rico last year, it took like 16 days, two weeks, to get the governor to resign. The splits at the top, you can see in this process how everything repolarized so quickly. And people are having to choose what side they're on. And that includes people at the top. In the ruling powers, the fact that Mattis broke with, and he was once a part of the Trump regime and then criticized Trump and said the military should be beholden to the Constitution, not to Trump. You know, it creates these situations, these fissures, where it can force the tyrant, so this ruler, out of power. It's happened again and again in country after country. And I don't think that you can make an argument that says, this white supremacist terror of black people must stop, but Trump and Pence should stay in power. I mean, what we are trying to do is raise this to the next level, where this demand is joined with all the others that are righteous struggles for justice. Every struggle for justice will be strengthened with this demand reverberating through the streets coast to coast. I hope that answers your question.
Yes, thank you so much, Coco. I think it's really important for people to both ground themselves in understanding of the danger that we face and how there isn't, a going back to normal. If they succeed, what that will look like and how any positive future will be foreclosed upon. And that on the other hand, people understanding the possibility here and what we could do and how we can drive them out if people were to act in the way that you're describing. I think that people need to get a sense of both of those. And I think that it will be important, not that we're going to go out on Friday and Saturday and have whole seminars on this, but I think through our chants and through agitation, getting in a basic way at both of those points will be really important. And in addition to that, really helping people understand, the fascist character and therefore why what we're advocating is the most realistic mechanism. Any final words, if there was anything that I didn't ask or questions that didn't come up that you felt it was very important for people to hear?
Okay, I guess all I want to say is join us this weekend, Friday, at the Movement for Black Lives protests, wherever you are in the country. Bring the demands of Refuse Fascism into that. If there's nothing happening where you happen to be, then start something around the demands of Refuse Fascism and do it on Juneteenth. And then on June 20th, take the demands of Refuse Fascism out into society broadly. If you haven't already set up a protest activity, set one up. Do it and then contact Refuse Fascism. Let them know about it so that the reverberations of what gets done spread around the world. And then go forward from this weekend, because we need to live in a world where white supremacy is no more. We need to live in a world where immigrants aren't put in detention camps. We need to live in a world where women are not subjected to misogyny and brutality and misery. We need to live somewhere in a world where the environment's not being devastated and all the other horrors are no more. And like I said, it's going to take an actual revolution to do that. And I urge people to get serious about that by getting into the work of Bob Avakian, But at the same time, and at the same time, I urge people to see that we need to get rid of this regime to have a chance to move forward in a progressive direction on any front. So get in the streets. If you're already in the streets, stay in the streets. If you ain't there yet, get out there and join us in the streets, because that's what it's going to take to drive this regime up.
As Coco and Carl discussed, the fight for justice now must include a growing network of people and organizations coming from many different backgrounds and political perspectives, calling for the immediate removal of the Trump-Pence regime. This cannot be put on hold until November, when talk of election cancellation or Trump's refusal to leave office is a common point of conversation. Let us not hope against facts that the 2020 election, the same election that Trump was on trial for sabotaging, is enough to resolve the crisis of an entire fascist movement determined to impose their nightmare on society. While the regime has been forced to make minor concessions in response to this historic upsurge, they have also become more desperate to bludgeon ahead and lash out. We are the only force that can stop this. Millions of people staying in the streets and refusing to go home until our demand, Trump Pence Out Now, is met. You can get involved at refusefascism.org. Join protests this weekend. Support this movement by clicking the donate button at refusefascism.org or giving on Venmo, refuse-fascism, or Cash App, refusefascism. In the name of humanity, we refuse to accept a fascist America. Trump Pence, Out Now. See you in the streets soon.